This is Sister Mary Madeline Todd. Welcome to Redeemer, the School of St. Joseph.
Hello and welcome to Redeemer. I'm your host, Javier Plume, and with me, as always, is Adam Novotny. Adam, what's up?
Javier, we're back.
Okay, hold on. I got to pause you right there. Every time I ask you how you're doing, you always tell me, we're back. You never tell me how you're actually doing.
I'm excited. That's the point, is that I'm really glad. In this case, I don't know chronologically what episode this is, but according to the calendar, we haven't done this in 5 months, and so we're long overdue, and I'm very excited to be back recording another episode.
Good. Well, I'm glad you're excited. I'm glad
I didn't know you were going to put me on the spot like that.
Really? How long have you been here?
It's the same question every episode.
Yeah. Well, to say we're back, it's just my way of saying that this is great and I'm excited and glad to be recording another episode.
Awesome. Awesome. So. And also with us is Holly Novotny. Holly, how are you?
I'm actually doing pretty well, Javier.
Glad to see you're mending, right?
Yes. I had a knee surgery a couple weeks ago, and so I'm on ice today.
Well, I'm glad that you had the gusto to do the podcast and get us back in action, as Adam would probably
listen. This is nothing. This is nothing. If you recall, Holly burnt herself with hot water and recorded a podcast, and then I took her to the ER.
That's right.
So recording this now is nothing compared
That's
to
a
when
true
she,
story.
When she burnt her hand on that hot water, but we were like, no, we're recording this episode.
Our listeners don't know the blood, sweat, and tears that have gone into some of these.
Yes, the commitment we have to this podcast and all two dozen listeners. We are so committed to them.
Hi, Mom.
Yeah, hi, Mom. Oh, we love our listeners.
And we also have a very special guest with us today.
I was going to do the intro.
So I am just delighted and so honored to have Sister Mary Madeline Todd here with us. I know her because she is currently teaching at Mount DeSales Academy, where our daughter was a student, and she was one of Anna's teachers last year, actually probably Anna's favorite teacher of all of her 4 years. And so Sister Mary Madeline and I have a shared love of one of our daughters. But it's a particular honor given her little bio here is quite impressive. And I think that I just really look forward to hearing what she has to share tonight. But she's a Dominican sister of the Congregation of St. Cecilia and serves as the chair of philosophy of the philosophy department at Mount DeSales. And she's an adjunct professor of theology at Aquinas College in Nashville. I think that's where you teach the sisters.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And she earned her doctorate at the Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas in Rome. And she has a Master of Arts in English from the University of Memphis, as well as a Master's in Theology from Franciscan. Her dissertation was on Christ the Liberator of Woman, a study of the theology of Mulieris Dignitatem, in light of current questions. That's a mouthful.
That is, yeah.
Sister Mary Madeline writes on spiritual and moral theology, including contributions to the books Promise and Challenge, Beautiful Mercy, which I have read. And when I read this, I thought, oh my gosh, I need to go back to that book and find her little chapter in there. And Pope Francis and the Event of Encounter. Her articles and reflections have been published in
L'Osservatore Romano,
the Catechetical Review, and the National Catholic Register. She's spoken on both theological and literary topics internationally, including presenting for the Towards an Integral Feminine Theology Conference in Rome, the Catholic Women's Forum Symposium in Washington, D.C., and the St. Clement Center for Ecumenical Dialogue in Kiev, Ukraine. She's kind of done a lot all over the world.
Amazing.
She also worked for 3 World Youth Days, Rome, Sydney, and Madrid. She currently serves on the boards of directors for the Given Institute and St. Agnes Catholic School. Her retreat and parish mission ministry has been a graced opportunity to share the light of Christ's merciful love from Australia to Alaska. So, sister, welcome, and thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. And for getting through that very long bio, which can be cut anywhere you'd like.
Listen, you give it to us, we read the whole thing.
Uh-oh, I should have known that.
Well, that's not necessarily true, but like, how do you cut any of that out?
We'll just joke and say it was actually a four-minute bio, and Javier edited some of it out. So,
and we're going to assume it's all true. So,
right.
I think so.
Yeah. Yes, how much of that was made up?
So we're really glad to have you on the show today. And today we're going to continue our season, which is focused on St. Joseph, which is really important since Pope Francis has this year proclaimed a year of St. Joseph. And that runs from December 8, 2020 to December 2021. And today we're looking at St. Joseph as teacher and mentor.
We want to help get the word out, and or even maybe those who already know and have heard the word, but then we want to celebrate and encourage people all the more in this very special year, the first of its kind, the year of St. Joseph. And so we want to continue to talk about him and to celebrate him and take advantage of this special time and this special grace and learn more and talk more about this great saint and the defender of the church.
Right. So our first episode was with Father Boniface Hicks. And so now we're talking about St. Joseph as teacher and mentor.
And we thought, who better to talk about St. Joseph than a Nashville Dominican? I know that might not make sense, but it made sense to us at the time. So mainly because we know Sister as a teacher.
Teacher and mentor.
No, I know. It makes sense to us. But we're grateful that Sister would actually say yes to this madcap thing that we do. So it's very brave of you, Sister.
Thanks.
So thanks.
Pray for courage.
So where do we start this conversation? I mean, there's a lot that we can talk about here, right?
Well, I think I'd like to start just, Sister, is St. Joseph somebody that you have had interest in before this year, or is it just, what is your take on the importance of having a year dedicated to St. Joseph, and what does that mean for the church? The people of the church.
What's fascinating to me is when you asked me to do this, I realized I have never been asked to give a talk on St. Joseph. And as a Dominican, St. Joseph has a very prominent place in our spirituality because, of course, we teach and preach the rosary. And so in meditating on the rosary very, very in depth, you really enter into the mystery of Joseph. And I love to pray the rosary with the artwork of Fra Angelico, the great Dominican Renaissance painter. And, you know, he has the most lovely kind of humble depictions of Joseph in the scenes of the mysteries of the rosary. So I would say, I also, when I was born, my family was part of St. Joseph's Parish. And then I think he was always kind of in the background, but isn't that St. Joseph? You know, I mean, I think I've spent a lot of my personal journey writing about preaching retreats to writing for women. And one of the reasons I'm so excited to even have a chance to do this talk is, and to really enter prayerfully into thinking more about Joseph, is I do not think any culture or society can go forward without strong masculinity and strong femininity, and that women and men, I mean, I was thinking about how John Paul II talks about how faith and reason are like two wings on which the human soul can rise to God. And I was thinking the society, the world, the culture needs, if you want to say it this way, the two wings of the male and the female, the masculine, the feminine, to rise up. And so even though I give lots of talks on Mary and Marian spirituality, I thought, in recent years, even before this year of St. Joseph, I think the Holy Spirit's kind of led me to say more and more about Joseph, because we're not going to have strong women in the society, and I teach in an all-girls school, I teach women in formation, if we don't have strong men. And you mentioned in my bio, I did some work, ecumenical work in Kiev, and one of the things that kind of fascinates me is that in the Eastern tradition of Christianity, there's much more emphasis on John the Baptist as the kind of role model for men. And in my own work and my dissertation, I read more on that. And then understanding who is St. Joseph for the Western tradition. And I actually think there's an amazing parallel between the two of them. I was really praying more about this in light of this conversation and thinking, really, what is the defining quality of these two great saints? And I think, I mean, there are many, many virtues that come into play, but a total selflessness in service to the Word of God. And if anything in our church, in our world, we need to, I think, revisit men and women, but is this selflessness, this total availability to God? I mean, Joseph was entrusted with the Word to raise, and what a daunting task that must have been, but he had to receive first the direction from God. He had to have that obedience of faith, and I've been pondering that a lot lately.
I think it's funny when you say that, because of course I have not ever really considered the importance of Joseph except as part of the Holy Family, which is not just, but that idea of he had to be in a place first to recognize that those dreams were from God. He had to trust, he had to have this relationship with the Lord that led him to be able to say yes to things that didn't on the surface make any sense at all. They were just dreams, right? Yeah. We could wake up from a dream and think, "Whoa, that was really weird." But he took Mary into his home. He fled into Egypt, right? But that came from first receiving from the Lord that gift of that relationship first from God the Father.
Yeah. Yeah. When I think of what humility this man had, you know, because he was chosen of all men to be, as we were talking about, the teacher and mentor of the Son of God. And I mean, I was just reading a book today that was saying, you know, maybe sometimes when we think of Jesus, we think too much of his divinity and not enough of, he really had to grow in his humanity. I mean, he really did grow in wisdom and grace before the Lord. And who would have been primary in that? Well, Joseph and Mary. And I think when the Lord had, you know, every possible person who could be entrusted with this task, why this man? And you know, when the scriptures talk about Joseph as a just man, and I was thinking, we tend to think of justice in a kind of narrow way, I think, in the world. It's kind of just like, you know, I give you what's due to you, and that is justice. But biblically, a just man, this is someone whose whole orientation of life is towards what God is due. And then therefore what every human being is due in light of God. And when I think of how Joseph had to surrender his own thoughts, his own dreams, his own hopes, time and time again, there was something about this man's utter availability to God's will that is his justice, you know, that he wanted to live for the Lord. Because what's due to God? Everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, God is our creator. God is our redeemer. God is our savior. So like Joseph, every action we know of his in the scriptures is obediential because it's so certain that to live for God is the only way to live. You know?
Okay, I got to get this in here because you mentioned the Eastern Church and St. John the Baptist. And even though we're talking about St. Joseph, those of us in Maryland, I think we're ready to embrace St. John the Baptist all the more, who fed on locusts and wild honey because the cicadas are back. So if you're listening, for those of you in Maryland, you'll know that every 17 years we get cicadas, and we're in the 17th year and they are coming out of the ground, and now's our time. Now's our time to embrace locusts and wild honey and embracing, imitating St. John the Baptist.
Right.
We've got the cicadas now.
You should make a bumper sticker out of that. For this season, be like St. Joseph, eat the cicadas. Is that what we're saying?
St. John. You
mean. St. John, right. Eat the cicadas.
Eat the cicadas.
That's good.
There you go.
You heard it first on the Redeemer podcast.
I digress.
Eat the cicadas.
But I digress. Back to your more philosophical musings.
No, you need to bring it back.
Eye roll. Count that.
Oh, yes.
Eye roll. Keep track. Those of you keeping track at home, there was another eye roll. Sister, you may not be aware. Actually, did we mention that in Father? Was it the eye roll?
I believe there was that.
Father Pavanka's? She listened to, she prepped beforehand and listened to our podcast with Father Pavanka. So now you know that we have an eye roll counter, which keeps track of every time Holly rolls her eyes. I believe we're up to 220.
I haven't checked it before.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Just today.
Well, I'm glad she prepped because it was good. One of us did. So,
Almost maybe just spit out my water. Our unofficial sponsor tonight is tap water.
That's right. That's right.
Rather boring.
So one thing you said that really stuck out to me was about Joseph received the word. He received this, you know, the love of God, received the mission, received, you know, the visitation, all those things. He had to bring that into himself. And I think as a teacher and mentor, I know as a parent, whenever I need to explain something to my child, or if I need to live out something so he can model that, I need to make sure that I do that as well. Meaning I have to bring it in, and I have to receive that, and I have to accept that. Since you're also an educator, how does it connect with what you do with your students in terms of preparing for them, in terms of your mission to them to spread the word of God to them? And can you draw any parallels between that, what St. Joseph did as mentor and teacher, to what you do as a mentor and a teacher?
Yeah, I think definitely you can't give what you haven't first received. And that's God's word and really God's love. I mean, I think Joseph, if he's going to trust, the radical trust he has in the Father had to come out of a sense of God's providential love for him. I mean, he had to really trust. I mean, I think... Think of like the stage where they fled into Egypt. To leave everything he could have given to the Son of God and to his wife. I mean, every dream he had of being a provider, of taking care of, it had to be surrendered to a plan that he couldn't control. Mm. And I think each of us has to learn that in our own lives before we can, and we have to know it from within before we can authentically hand it on to someone else. Mm-hmm. If we're not listening in obedience to God in our day-to-day lives, we really can't tell. And young people, we know, they look at our witness, our example, way more than our words. Mm. And so, yes, we have to teach and mentor and guide according to our words. But I've always been fascinated by the fact that we don't have a single recorded word of St. Joseph. And I thought that means that his role as teacher and mentor was what he did. Mm. And what did he do? Everything the Lord asked of him. And I think, you know, in my own life of teaching, I certainly work hard, study hard to try to prepare what I'm teaching. But I think a lot of being a teacher and mentor is not just a content. Mm-hmm. It's if you're living out of your relationship with the Lord, and I think St. Joseph is preeminent in this, then you know that God is guiding not only you, but guiding the people you are guiding. Mm-hmm. And so you can surrender to a truth that is higher than you and the Spirit forming the people around you. So it gives you a kind of freedom because, yes, you've given everything in your human capacities for, but the Lord is using it. He's really the one forming. He's really the one shaping. He's really the one teaching. And I think Joseph lived that radical trust in the Lord. And so, you know, I mean, he was chosen to form obedience in Jesus Christ, who, you know, the scriptures mysteriously tell us learned obedience through what he suffered, that Jesus learned obedience. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think Joseph had to learn obedience through what he suffered. For me, I think Joseph was a just man, so he would have wanted to provide. He wanted to take care of his wife, his child, and that the Lord called him to leave behind the material ways he could have provided. Mm. Because I think we live in a world where it measures everything by material, you know, and he would have wanted to give them the best home, the best things, the best crafts. And for a long stage of the time he was entrusted with Mary and Joseph, he had to actually leave everything he could have given them material, which means the material provision wasn't the main provision. Mm. The actual workshop, if we might say, in which Saint Joseph taught the Son of God was his obedient heart. Mm. And then they returned to Nazareth after years of, and so if Christ learned obedience from what he suffered, he learned in the school of Joseph. I mean, Joseph had to suffer not being able to give Mary and Joseph the peaceful security, the home, the stability that he would have wanted to give them. So Christ saw in Joseph, he had to surrender the way he would have provided into the radical providence of God. Hmm. And humanly, that would have shaped Jesus profoundly. I mean, it wasn't easy. I think something we forget, Jesus, you know, he's the Son of God, but I mean, look at him in Gethsemane. He had to wrestle to be faithful to the will of God, but he was formed by a man who trusted God's providence more than his own plan of how to provide. And that's teaching par excellence. And I mean, I think that sometimes as a teacher, as a mentor, the Lord, I have a text, I have something I teach, but sometimes the Lord calls me to share something out of my own journey. And it's amazing what it does to my students.
It's right. Funny that you would say that right at this moment, because I was thinking after you were talking about this wrestling of the story that you shared at dinner, walking on the streets of Rome with a missionary of charity, that you wanted to be when you were younger, you wanted to be a missionary of charity. Mm-hmm. And so I would love to hear again for everyone else to hear the story because it really kind of goes well with what you're saying about learning obedience and being able to submit to the will of God.
Yes, this was a really powerful experience. I was a fairly young sister. It was back in the year 2000. I was working for World Youth Day with Pope John Paul II, and I was walking down the street, and I had for many years really wrestled with what God's will for me was in terms of my vocational discernment, because I was so deeply inspired by Mother Teresa and the powerful witness of her total dedication to the poorest of the poor. And even though every door in God's providence opened for me to be a Dominican, I was taught by the Dominicans, I always had this question kind of lingering in my heart, that was I in the right place? And it really weighed on me. And I was walking down the street near the Vatican, and Cardinal Ratzinger was coming towards us, and I was with a sister who knew him, and she said, "Would you like to meet him?" And I said, "I would love to meet him." I had read several of his books and I really admired him. And so she introduced me, and he looked at me and he said, "Oh, you're a Dominican." And I said, "Yes." And he said, "You're a Dominican from Nashville." And I was really surprised that he knew where I was from. And without saying anything else, never having met him before, he looked right into my eyes and he said to me, "Don't look around and think you have to figure out how to serve the poorest of the poor on the streets. God is going to raise up those who will care for the poor, but you have been called to be a Dominican, and the world has never needed the charism of St. Dominic more than it needs it now. Wow. You need to preach the truth." And he said, "So go be a good Dominican." And this was amazing. I really couldn't believe really that this man could say it, but I knew he must pray to the Holy Spirit. I mean, how in the world did he meet me on the streets and right. confirm my vocation? And actually it was wonderful that years later I was able to serve him. I worked for his World Youth Day in Sydney for the full year of the planning. I was on the planning team with the coordinating bishop. So I was able to welcome him to Sydney and meet him in that encounter.
That's incredible. I think the most profound thing that's happened to me on the street has been like, someone like running into me or like almost hitting me with a car or something.
Well, the timing's a little off, but as you said, now you can say you had a private audience with the Pope, right? It's not quite the right timing, but
that's right.
Right. That's a wonderful story.
But I think it also speaks to what you're talking about with Joseph. What he wanted, you know, would have been to give the best of the worldly things to Mary and who he knew to be the Son of God, right? Yeah. And he knew that Mary was this chosen vessel to bear Christ to the world, and that as a man he would want to be providing for them, but recognizing and having the humility to just move because the Lord told him to, yeah. and put him in a really vulnerable position because he had to be dependent on the kindness of strangers that he didn't even know the language, right?
Yeah.
And not be able to give the home and the stability, but and for you, that recognizing that what you felt like tugging on your heart to serve the poor, that actually the Lord was calling you to be this teacher and mentor and a good Dominican.
Yeah. And I think going back for a moment to what you said about Joseph, because you reminded me of something that you used the word dependence and then his having to depend on others. And I think that this is something that only in recent years has really come into my prayer more fully, this thinking of, you know, nowhere in the Bible is independence a virtue, nowhere, you know, and like being who we are is being radically dependent. And actually the Son of God by the very fact of sonship depends for his very being on the Father. I mean, that's what the relationship of Father and Son is. So, like, and so when I think of Saint Joseph, I mean, if the Son of God is going to literally depend on him for his formation, his teaching, his guidance, then he had to be a man who was willing to depend. So, I mean, I think God does this in our lives, right? You probably experience this as parents, right? God forms us in the virtues that we need to hand on to the next generation. And so I think, you know, Joseph, it would have been very humbling for him to have to depend on these strangers. But I think in our culture, in our world, sometimes we want to be so independent. We want to be so on our own feet, but that's not the biblical worldview. I mean, and I think, you know, hospitality and receiving hospitality is really important. But I think we forget that Jesus let himself depend on this mother and this father. He let himself depend on people all throughout his life. You know, I mean, even on the journey to Calvary, you know, he let himself depend on the strength of Simon to help him carry that cross. And so he learned in the school of Joseph that being a strong man is not, I do it all for myself. But part of being a strong man is the humility of depending on another. And if the Son of God is by definition one who depends on the Father, then he needed his foster father, his mentor, his teacher, to be a man who knows himself in the Lord so deeply that his dependence isn't a humiliation, it's a bridge to true humility.
So thanks for joining us for this episode of Redeemer. We'll be posting links to all the great references that we've talked about on this podcast and also throughout the whole year that can help us to deepen our relationship with the Lord through Saint Joseph and to increase our devotion to him as we celebrate this special year. You can find all these resources at newminus.fm/St. Joseph. That's newminus.fm/SaintJoseph. Please join us on the next episode of Redeemer, where we continue our discussion with Sister Mary Madeline Todd. God bless.